So I changed my title for tonight's quick message to The Sacrifice of Thankfulness. Sacrifice of Thankfulness. If you remember when I spoke in January, I spoke about a pleasing aroma or a pleasing sacrifice to God, and that how it can't just be anything. It has to be something sacrificial. It has to be something that costs you something. It has to be consecrated. And the Word of God talks about thankfulness as an aroma of praise to God in Psalm 50. And we'll get in there a little bit later. But if you have the Word of God with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to ask us really strongly to stand up because I like honoring the Lord when we read from it. It's okay, we're going to stretch a little bit. Luke chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 16 to 21. And it's speaking of the parable of the rich fool. And it says this. Then Jesus told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?'" Emphasis on verse 21. "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but have no rich relationship with God." Amen. You may be seated. And as I was meditating on tonight's topic and preparing my heart to speak and share with the church, I was asking God, what topic do you want me to correlate with the mission trip? And this topic kept coming up over and over again, and it was Thanksgiving. And like we read from Luke, and I just want to emphasize verse 21 one more time, it says this, "A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." And I just want to talk about a couple of the key words that we find in this verse, because it's going to help give us understanding of what we're going for in thankfulness. And it's in verse 21, it says this, storing up. These two words, to store up earthly wealth. If you know me, you know I like to use synonyms. I like to compare words and see where they go. So a few synonyms for the words storing up is piling up, laying up, treasure up, to accumulate, to build, to preserve, to treasure. My favorite one is to hoard. Do you guys have any hoarders in the family? Just keep everything. If you come in my garage, you'll be frightened. But the opposite of storing up is contentment. Contentment is the state of happiness and satisfaction in what the Lord has given you. It's being glad for the level of blessing that the Lord has bestowed upon you. And again, like I spoke in January, about having the right heart and right mind behind how we sacrifice to the Lord. So I want to talk about this. I want to talk about thanksgiving being a prerequisite for an acceptable offering to the Lord. Thanksgiving needs to be a prerequisite to an offering to the Lord. And my first point is this. Foolishness begins when we devalue our relationship with Christ. This guy was titled as a rich fool. How can you be both rich and be a fool? I want to explain about that for a little. You see, the issue wasn't that he was working hard. The issue wasn't that he was saving up. The issue wasn't that he was storing in his barn. The issue wasn't that he was supporting his family. The issue wasn't that he was providing the daily bread. The issue was that he was putting other things above his relationship with God when he already had sufficiently what he needed to withstand. He already had what he needed, but yet he decided to sacrifice more time from the Lord to build up more wealth. And this gives us two things that I want to talk about. It's a permissible compromise and an unnecessary compromise. A permissible compromise is something that the Lord lets us go through. For example, most of us have a 40-hour work week, correct? We have to buy bread. We have to support our family. The Lord has permitted us to have that compromise from our time from him so that we can support. In fact, from 1 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And many of us love to eat, so we should definitely work. but the permissible compromise versus the unnecessary compromise. You see, the unnecessary compromise is a level of compromise which exceeds God's level of provision. God's provided something for you. He's given you what you need to support a family or what you need to sustain, and this unnecessary compromise is going above and beyond what God's already given you and taking time out of your relationship with God to focus on this. And this is what happened with the rich fool. He had all he needed, but he committed more time to take away and build other things. And that's what we do many times in our life. We've already have all that we need from the Lord. He's blessed us with all that we need. Yet many times we're ungrateful. And I speak to myself. Many times I'm ungrateful. And in order for me to build other things up, I have to take time from somewhere. And most people don't want to take time from their family and don't want to take their own personal time. So there's one more spot that's vacant that usually gets the biggest blow from our time. Do you guys know what that is? It's our personal time with the Holy Spirit. It's easy for me to take time from there and accumulate it to something else rather than sacrificing my own time. And that's the biggest lesson I learned from Greece. I have all that I need. I don't need anything else. And I fall in this trap so many times where I try to continuously do more for my own life. You guys know what I'm talking about? My car is not good enough. My house is not good enough. My clothes aren't good enough. So you know what? I'm gonna tear down these barns, right? So I can build bigger barns. And this is the problem. If you look at the emphasis of the words in verse 17, he says, I don't have room for all my crops. Three words, I don't have. How many times do we use those words in our life? I don't have. How many times do we speak that over situations, over what we have, what we wear, what we drink, what we eat, where we work? I'll be honest, the biggest blessing, and Dan knows this, I was so excited to come home and work. I was on the car ride with my sister on the way home. Bless her soul for picking me up at 5 from LAX. And she asked me, what's like the biggest thing you're looking forward to? And I said, I'm ready to work. I'm motivated. Like, I'm stoked. I'm excited because this guy, I mean, he said, I want to work. I want to provide for my family, but no one will hire me because I'm a refugee and I have to leave my home in 2 months. I don't know what I'm going to do. How many of us complain about our job? You guys are liars. A lot of us complain about our jobs, but we don't understand that's the level of God's permissive compromise for us to do. It's a privilege for us to go and serve and work and bless and provide for our families. The clothes that you wear, the car that you drove here, he gives us all that we need, and we have more than enough, church. We have more than enough. And this is what I got from the trip. We don't need to build bigger barns. We don't need to tear down what we have already worked to build up for something else. Our barns are full. We have barns that are saturated, overfilled, overblessed. God have mercy on us. I'm speaking to myself. God have mercy on me for my inconsistent gratitude to God. You see families living in a tent, freezing, and they would literally, they would set rocks on fire. Listen to this. Most of the men in the camp, their daily work is to set rocks on fire so that they can put the rock in their tent to heat their kids. Most of their tents caught fire. Their blankets would catch fire. And we ask them, what do you do all day? And they would show us, oh, I got scars here, scars here, scars here. I'd be sleeping, I rolled over and I fell on my rock and the rock burned me. What do we do with our days? We have a lot. We don't have to light rocks on fire to keep warm. And it's a sense of humility that the Lord is calling over our church, of gratitude, of thankfulness. The Lord desires thanksgiving as a sacrifice. And look what the psalmist says in Psalm 50. And I'm going to try to make this short. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. That's verse 14. Look what he says in verse 23. but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me, then that means that there is sacrifice that doesn't honor him. Do you guys remember the story in the Bible where the man is saying, I fast twice a week. I give zechuala, if I didn't say that wrong. I'm not going to try it again. But I give that to the Lord. That's not what the Lord wants. If it's not done from a heart of gratitude, if it's not done from a heart of thanksgiving, God doesn't want my 10% just so I can mark a box that says, God, I gave you my 10%. God, I fasted twice this week and had no intention of being grateful and thanksgiving towards the Lord. And this one hit me so hard this week. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors God. Yesterday's food and yesterday's water cannot support me today. Amen? What happened in Exodus when they tried to store up the manna? God said, don't do that. Don't store it up for tomorrow. It's the same thing with this. My gratitude from yesterday cannot accommodate the thanksgiving for today. My gratitude for yesterday cannot accommodate the thanksgiving I need to present to God today. My thanksgiving today needs to be honorable before the Lord. I can't say, God, thank you for what you did a week ago. Thank you today that my family is well. Thank you today that my son is alive. Thank you today that I'm breathing. I have allergies right now, and the whole night I'm wheezing through my nose. God, thank you that I have one nostril that's good. Thank you, God, that I'm limping, but I got at least one that I can kick. Does someone understand what I'm trying to get to? It's like what happens in Philippians 4. Make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. We forget about the thanksgiving part. If we don't offer the thanksgiving, the peace that surpasses all understanding will not come to us. It's a prerequisite. And very quickly, I want to touch this. On the second point is relationship with God is greater than riches. And there's a comparison between great wealth and rich relationship. And there is nothing more important than a constant, stable, uninterrupted, perpetual, increasing relationship with Christ. If my barn is full, I don't need to tear it down and waste more time. If my barn is full and I have all that I need, I don't need to waste my time on silly things because I can die tomorrow. What did the Bible say? What did Jesus say about the rich fool? You are a fool. Tonight you will die. Then who's going to take your treasure? Invest in a rich relationship with God. And I just want to talk about this for 1 second. You guys know the love languages, right? There's physical touch. I don't want to get too personal about that one. There are words of affirmation. There's quality time. There's gift giving, wherever Kim is. Kim literally gives me anxiety because every time that she gives me a gift, she's like, oh, I planned this, like, you know, I saw this like 3 years ago. It kind of reminded me of you. I wrote you a letter. I hope you like it. And I'm like, I got you flowers the day of your birthday. I hope that's okay. It's not even the flower that she likes. Love you, Kim. Then we have my sister Ella, who's quality time, who'll sacrifice her 5 p.m. to come pick me up and spend time with me. And that's the way that she shows love, is spending time with people you love, right? And then we have Ruben Andreka. I can't explain to you, when I hug that guy, I hug God. That guy holds me for 45 seconds. And I love it. His physical touch is his love language. It expresses the love of God, but there is a love language of God that we forget. You know what that is? Discipline. We don't want to talk about that one. And I'm going to emphasize how Pastor Dohora spoke on Hebrews 12. We look just a little bit lower than that. It says in verse 5, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those who he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Verse 8, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means you are illegitimate and you are not his children at all. If God disciplines you, you are his child. You know what I did the first thing when I got home? So dumb. I was going on my phone, started going through Amazon, and I bought a pair of shoes. The Lord slapped me with love. And I was wrecked. You know why? Because the next day I woke up and he said, you just got back. You have probably 8 to 12 to 15 pairs of shoes. Women in here probably have 30. He says, you have a full closet of shoes and you have to go buy another pair? Where did I just bring you from? And I felt like for 2 days I was going through hell because I couldn't hear God. I didn't feel him. I didn't see him. I felt like he just set me aside in discipline. Have you guys ever put your kid in a timeout? I don't have kids, but I remember when my parents wouldn't talk to me or give me a silent treatment. It's horrible. And the Lord disciplined me with that. And I just remember I started repenting and crying and reading. And I spent 2 days just focusing on God and saying, God, thank you. I don't need anything else. As soon as those shoes came in, I returned them. But what God did to me was showing me, you have all that you need. And his love language to me was discipline. And sometimes God, he needs to discipline his children. If God isn't disciplining you, if there's something in your life that you're doing that dishonors him, I challenge you, pray this, God, discipline me. Hebrews 12 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, but it's the hardest book or the hardest chapter to read. But I pray, you know why I like to be disciplined by the Lord? Because if I'm disciplined by him, I'm not illegitimate. If I get slapped by him, he can do that because he's my father. Titus, can you go to someone else's kid and hit him with the belt? Can you hit Kyle? The fact is that your relationship with your son gives you permission to discipline your son. The fact that God is our father gives him permission to discipline us. And when we are ungrateful, the Lord is able to say, I'm doing this, but I'm doing this because I love you, to get you on the right path so that you can be grateful and thankful for all that I've done for you. Because gratitude changes something in our heart, not God's. It aligns us to him. Where I can say, you know what, those few hours that I would spend on building and hoarding and collecting other things no longer matter. I'm going to invest in a rich relationship with God. And that's what I got from this trip. Dan, if you want to know, I don't think I went there to minister to students, to people. Yes, I did that as best as I could. But God went there to show me to have gratitude in my own life. Because I need a slap every now and then. I'm being honest with you. As a son, I expect God to slap my wrist when I'm doing something wrong. And I'm grateful for it. And I want to end with this verse. As I was preparing, it was the verse of the day, and I believe it's so accustomed to it. It's Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fails and the fields is empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field, emphasis on this, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God of my salvation. You know why I like that verse? Because we have all of that. But even if we didn't, he still deserves thanksgiving. Even if I don't have a full barn, he still deserves thanksgiving. But the fact is that every single one of us sitting here has more than a full barn. Let us be grateful. Let us be thankful. And let us ask the Lord, Lord, in your love, discipline me. Amen.